Welcome to the Beamsville Church of Christ online ministry. This week's message is titled, The Old Testament, Part 1. Thank you to Mike, Dave, and Dawn for being part of the video. The scripture reading is Romans 15, 5-13. Happy birthday this week to Dorothy, Ed, and Len.
If you would like to follow along, the scripture reading this morning is taken from Romans chapter 15, starting at verse 5. Romans 15, starting at verse 5. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Jesus Christ, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another, then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, to confirm the promises made to the patriarchs, so that the Gentiles may glorify God for his mercy, as it is written. Therefore, I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing praise hymns to your name. Again, it says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and sing praises to him, all you peoples. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations. The Gentiles will hope in him. And may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Morning, everyone. Last Sunday, we looked at a particular scripture from each New Testament book, 27 books in the New Testament. And today, I want to notice a particular scripture from each book in the Old Testament. Now, there are 39 Old Testament books, so today we're going to look at 20 books, and then next week we'll look at the last 19 books. Now, this can be done by anyone. There's so many scriptures that we can look at, so it was just my choice to look at a variety of these scriptures. And I must tell you how much I enjoyed doing this, looking at it and going through the Old Testament books, and I don't know how many hours I read during the week, but I'd forgotten some of these wonderful stories that were really true and always true, and some of them I could recall, and they still fascinate me. So I'll quit talking and just share some of these scriptures. So, you know, in Genesis chapter 1, which scripture would you use? Well, multiple scriptures could be used in any of these. I just talked about, or wrote this down, the beginning of everything. And it says in Genesis 1:1-5, in the beginning, God created. Now, what did he create? The heavens and the earth. Now, the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God, so interesting how it's worded, the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light. And when God says, let there be light, what do you think is going to happen? There's going to be light. And there was morning there, and then there was evening, and that was the first day. I read it, and then it just grabbed me. Think about everything that this is actually saying. Try to put yourself, talking to myself, put yourself in that. What would it be like? What would the noise be like? Well, it would be just an incredible experience. But it's not just Genesis. There's so much more. And again, I suggest that if you ever wanted to do this, there are multiple ways, lots of scriptures that you could notice this. Okay, so I want to move on to Exodus. Again, so many scriptures that we could be using. In chapter 6, verses 2 through 8, God said to Moses. So I had to stop right there. God said. Did he whisper in his ear? Was it loud noise? I don't know. But God said to Moses, "Now you will see what I will do with Pharaoh. Because of my mighty hand, he will let Israel go. Because my mighty hand will drive them out of this country." And God also said to Moses, "I am the Lord." Can you hear that? "I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty, but by my name, the Lord." What's God's name? The Lord, or God, or the Creator, or whatever word you want to put to it. But he is in control. So it's so interesting through all of this. And then in Exodus chapter 6 and then verse 7, he says this, "I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God, who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians, and I will bring you to the land that I swore to you with uplifted hand to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And I will give it to you as a possession. I am the Lord." So again, when you go through these books, you can look at them and you can choose so many of these scriptures. I don't know how many years we could preach the same sermon only looking at different scriptures. So what do you choose when you go to the book of Leviticus? Okay, let's face it. How many of us read Leviticus? Well, it's pretty incredible. Not boring at all. In fact, some of the books that I thought, I'm not so sure that there's much there. It just blows my mind. So Leviticus chapter 20, verses 6 through 8, and it's somewhat scary. God said, "I will set my face against the person who turns to mediums and spiritists to prostitute himself by following them, and I will cut him off from his people. So consecrate yourselves and be holy, because I am the Lord your God. Keep my decrees and follow them. I am the Lord who makes you holy." Powerful. And then again, when was the last time you couldn't sleep, so you chose to read the book of Numbers? Not very often, but really interesting. Numbers chapter 14, verses 8 and 9. And Moses said, "If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into the land, a land flowing with milk." What do you think that comes next? Milk and honey. "And will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and don't be afraid of the people of the land, because we will swallow them up. Their protection has gone. But the Lord is with us, and don't be afraid of them." So looking back in those days, right back from the beginning, thousands and thousands and thousands and years ago, interesting. And what I like about this, as I've said, choose any of these scriptures and any of your own scriptures. You could make a sermon every week for a long time. And it's really interesting. So we go to this book called Deuteronomy. Again, when was the last time you read the book of Deuteronomy? But interesting. There you saw how the Lord your God carried you as a father carries his son all the way you went until you reached this place. I must confess I was a bit emotional when I read that, because our children are grown. But I remember my son, Brian, and that he'd be fussy and so forth. So what does a father do? Picks him up and carries him. And this is what the scripture is saying. There you saw the Holy Lord carried you as a father carries his son. All the way you went until you reached this place. In spite of this, you did not trust in the Lord your God, who went ahead of you on your journey in fire by night and in a cloud by the day to search out places for you to camp and show you the way that you should go. And when the Lord heard what you said, he was angry and solemnly swore, not a man from this evil generation shall see the good land I swore to give your fathers, except Caleb and Jephunneh. They will see it and will give them his descendants. The land will be available for him, his feet on this land, because he followed the Lord God Almighty for all of us. So then Joshua, and Joshua is a fascinating book. It's a wonderful book, and it just explodes in great victory. Listen to this. Joshua chapter 1, 6 through 9. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to your forefathers. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. And then he says, have I not commanded you? Yes, Lord, you have commanded us. So what do we do now? Here's what he says. Be strong. Be courageous. Don't be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God, listen to this, will be with you wherever you go. Still true today. You know, we drove to church building today. He was with us. We're going to drive back. He'll be with us. Tomorrow we're going to do what we do. He's going to be with us. Tonight, you're going to go to bed. You're going to sleep. He's going to be with us. You may even get up in the middle of the night. He's going to be with us. He's with us every minute of the day. So it's pretty good, I think, to pray. If God's with us every moment of the day, we need to check in with him every once in a while in the day. It's profound. And to me, it's so interesting that these Old Testament scriptures are really connected in relationships with God. So here's this also cool story in Judges. A wonderful prophetess by the name of Deborah, it says, the wife of Lapidoth, was leading Israel at the time. Not very often that you hear of a lady, a woman, leading Israel, but she was. Deborah the prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, was leading Israel at the time, and she held court under the palm of Deborah between Ramah. And the Israelites came to Deborah to have their disputes decided by her. Such an interesting woman, and we don't know that much more about it, but what a powerful woman she was. And God's hand was upon her. And then the lovely story of Ruth. How many remember this story? Ruth. Naomi said, "Don't urge me to leave you or turn back from you." Then these words, "Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people. And your God will be, help me, my God. Where you die, I will die. And there I'll be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates us." This wonderful relationship with these two women who were very successful in their time and difficulties as well. So now we go to 1 Samuel and then 2 Samuel. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, it says, "Then Hannah prayed and said, 'My heart rejoices in the Lord. In the Lord, my horn is lifted high. My mouth boasts over my enemies, for I delight in your deliverance, O Lord. There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one besides you. There is no rock like our God.'" Continuing with that, in 2 Samuel, it says, "David again brought together out of Israel chosen men." Listen to this. 30,000 chosen men. "He and all his men set out from Bala of Judah to bring up from there the ark, which is called by the name." The name. It's the ark. Not Noah's ark, but the ark that carried the Ten Commandments and so forth. "Called by the name of the Lord Almighty, who is enthroned between the cherubim that are on the ark. They set the ark of God on a new cart, brought it from the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. David and the whole house of Israel were celebrating with all their might before the Lord, and they were celebrating with songs, with harps, with lyres, with tambourines, sistrums, and cymbals." They were celebrating the Lord. How wonderful is that? And then we come to the kings. Wow, there are a lot of kings in the Old Testament. 1 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. "When the time came near for David to die, he gave a charge to Solomon, his son. He said, 'I am about to go the way of all the earth. So be strong, show yourself a man, and observe what the Lord your God requires. Walk in God's ways and keep his decree and commands, his laws and requirements as written in the law of Moses, so that you may prosper in all you do, wherever you go.'" Then we go to 2 Kings, and this is interesting. 50 men of the company of the prophets went and stood a distance facing the place where Elijah and Elisha had stopped at the Jordan. Elijah took his cloak, rolled it up, and struck the water with it. The water, guess what happened? Divided to the right and to the left, and the two of them crossed over on dry ground. So interesting. And then the Chronicles. It's an interesting word, chronicle. Chronicles of your life. And you write a story about it. Well, 1 Chronicles chapter 13, it says this. David conferred with each of his officers, the commanders of thousands, commanders of hundreds. And he said to the whole assembly of Israel, if it seems right to you, and if it's the will of the Lord our God, let us send word far and wide to the rest of our brothers throughout the territories of Israel, and also the priests and Levites who are with them in their towns and pasture lands, to come and join us. And then something unique. Let us bring the ark, not Noah's ark, the ark of the covenant. Let us bring the ark of our God back to us. For we did not inquire of it during the reign of Saul. And that's why they got so messed up. The whole assembly agreed to do this. Because for all the people, they said, this is right. They got it. And then 2 Chronicles 7. Such a wonderful scripture. The Lord appeared to Solomon at night. I picture that. And said, God speaking, I've heard your prayer and I've chosen this place for myself as a temple for sacrifices. And then you could probably quote this too. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear them from heaven and I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. I have chosen and consecrated this temple that my name may be there forever. My eyes and my heart will always be there. It's true for us. God is with us every second of the day. Even here today, God's presence. We should all be bowing. But we know he's here. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Question. When was the last time you read the book of Ezra? Me neither. So, Ezra says this. When the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests in their vestments and with trumpets, and the Levites with cymbals, very noisy, took their places to praise the Lord as prescribed by David, the king of Israel. David loved music. You can remember that from your scripture readings. He loved music, and he passed it down. David passed down this wonderful music generation after generation after generation. It says, with praise and thanksgiving, they sang to the Lord. He is good. His love to Israel endures forever. And then it says, no one could distinguish the sound of the shouts of joy from the sound of weeping, because the people made so much noise and the sound was heard from far away. Their weeping wasn't a sad weeping. It was a celebration of weeping of God's beautiful love for them and vice versa. And then we come to this very interesting book, the book of Nehemiah. The words of Nehemiah in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year while I was in the citadel of Susa, Hananiah, one of my brothers, came from Judah with some other men, and I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that survived the exile, and also about Jerusalem, what's happening there. Those who survived the exile are back in the province and in great trouble and disgrace, because the wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates have been burned with fire. And when I heard these things, I sat down and I wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Then I said, O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and obey his commands, let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer your servant is praying before you day and night for your servants, the people of Israel. I confess the sins of we Israelites, including myself and my father's house, have committed against you. But if you return to me, God says, and obey my commands, even then, if your exiled people are the farthest horizon, I will gather them and bring them to the place I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. I return to God. And then the book of Esther, a couple of sections here, chapter 2 and chapter 8. Now there was in the citadel of Susa a Jew by the tribe of Benjamin named Mordecai, who had been carried into exile, again from Jerusalem, by Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. Mordecai had a cousin named Hadassah. This girl was lovely in form and features, and Mordecai had taken her as his own daughter when her father and mother died. Then in chapter 6, that night, the king could not sleep. So he ordered the book of Chronicles, the record of his reign, to be brought to him to read. The king's edict granted the Jews in every city the right to assemble and protect themselves, to kill and annihilate any armed force of any nationality or province that might attack them and their women and children. And then in chapter 9, the Jews took it upon themselves to establish the custom that they and their descendants and all who join them observe the days of joy because of the salvation of the Jewish nation. Wonderful, wonderful story. These are just little highlights going through. How about the book of Job? Difficult. The patience of Job. Sometimes you hear someone say that. See, Satan believed that a wonderful man by the name of Job would curse God if Job was tested severely. And Job was tested severely. Job lost everything, but he never lost his faith. He didn't understand why all these terrible things were happening, but he would not blame God. His friends tried to help, but they were, quotation, miserable comforters. So then in chapter 42, here's what Job said. He said to the Lord, Lord, I know that you can do all things. No plan of yours can be thwarted. You asked, who is this that obscures my counsel? But the Lord blessed Job as he blessed his friends. Okay, so now we go to the book of Psalms. What do you choose? I chose this. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores, help me, my soul. Guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And then there's an amen there. And then lastly, the book of Proverbs. I went through this book several times. And this is what I came up with, and it's very brief, and then I'll be finished, and thank you for your patience. Proverbs 18 and 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. So we'll pick it up again next Sunday, and we'll begin with the book of Ecclesiastes. I have so enjoyed doing this, and I thank you for your patience.
Thanks for watching or listening. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. Scripture quotations marked NIV, taken from the Holy Bible, New International Version, NIV. Copyright 2011 by Biblica, Inc. Used by permission, all rights reserved worldwide. You can learn more about the congregation on our Facebook page or at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.